Today is the 14th day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today, doing what we do every day. One foot in front of the other, right? And then we lean forward into that step, and then we take it the next step forward together. And that next step will be a continuation in the book of Jeremiah and the second letter to the Thessalonians. And of course, our next step forward in the Psalms and Proverbs as well, but we gotta begin with Jeremiah. So we're reading from the New Living Translation this week. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 21 through 25, verse 38. I have not sent these prophets, yet they run around claiming to speak for me. I have given them no message, yet they go on prophesying. If they had stood before me and listened to me, they would have spoken my words, and they would have turned my people from their evil ways and deeds. Am I a God who is only close at hand? Says the Lord. No. I am far away at the same time. Can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and earth? Says the Lord. I have heard these prophets say, listen to the dream I had from God last night. And then they proceed to tell lies in my name. How long will this go on? If they are prophets, they are prophets of deceit, inventing everything they say. By telling these false dreams, they are trying to get my people to forget me, just as their ancestors did by worshiping the idols of Baal. Let these false prophets tell their dreams, but let my true messengers faithfully proclaim my every word. There is a difference between straw and grain. Does not my word burn like fire, says the Lord? Is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces? Therefore, says the Lord, I am against these prophets who steal messages from each other and claim they are from me. I am against these smooth-tongued prophets who say, this prophecy is from the Lord. I am against these false prophets. Their imaginary dreams are flagrant lies that lead my people into sin. I did not send or appoint them, and they have no message at all for my people. I, the Lord, have spoken. Suppose one of the people or one of the prophets or priests asks you, what prophecy has the Lord burdened you with now? You must reply, you are the burden. The Lord says he will abandon you. If any prophet, priest, or anyone else says, I have a prophecy from the Lord, I will punish that person along with his entire family. You should keep asking each other, what is the Lord's answer? Or what is the Lord saying? But stop using this phrase, prophecy from the Lord. For people are using it to give authority to their own ideas, turning upside down the words of our God, the living God, the Lord of heaven's armies. This is what you should say to the prophets. What is the Lord's answer? Or what is the Lord saying? But suppose they respond, this is a prophecy from the Lord. Then you should say, this is what the Lord says. Because you have used this phrase, prophecy from the Lord, even though I warned you not to use it, I will forget you completely. I will expel you from my presence along with this city that I gave to you and your ancestors. And I will make you an object of ridicule, and your name will be infamous throughout the ages. After King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon exiled Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, to Babylon along with the officials of Judah, and all the craftsmen and artisans, the Lord gave me this vision. I saw two baskets of figs placed in front of the Lord's temple in Jerusalem. One basket was filled with fresh, ripe figs, while the other was filled with bad figs that were too rotten to eat. Then the Lord said to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" I replied, "Figs. Some very good and some very bad, too rotten to eat." Then the Lord gave me this message. "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The good figs represent the exiles I sent from Judah to the land of the Babylonians. I will watch over and care for them, and I will bring them back here again. I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not uproot them. I will give them hearts that recognize me as the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me wholeheartedly. But the bad figs," the Lord said, "represent King Zedekiah of Judah, his officials, all the people left in Jerusalem, and those who live in Egypt. I will treat them like bad figs, too rotten to eat. I will make them an object of horror and a symbol of evil to every nation on earth. They will be disgraced and mocked, taunted and cursed wherever I scatter them. And I will send war, famine, and disease until they have vanished from the land of Israel, which I gave to them and their ancestors. This message for all the people of Judah came to Jeremiah from the Lord during the fourth year of Jehoiakim's reign over Judah. This was the year when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon began his reign. Jeremiah the prophet said to all the people in Judah and Jerusalem, for the past 23 years, from the 13th year of the reign of Josiah son of Amon, king of Judah, until now, the Lord has been giving me his messages. I have faithfully passed them on to you, but you have not listened. Again and again the Lord has sent you his servants, the prophets, but you have not listened or even paid attention. Each time the message was this: turn from the evil road you are traveling and from the evil things you are doing. Only then will I let you live in this land that the Lord gave to you and your ancestors forever. Do not provoke my anger by worshiping idols you made with your own hands. Then I will not harm you. But you would not listen to me, says the Lord. You made me furious by worshiping idols you made with your own hands, bringing on yourselves all the disasters you now suffer. And now the Lord of Heaven's army says, because you have not listened to me, I will gather together all the armies of the north under King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, whom I have appointed as my deputy. I will bring them all against this land and its people and against the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy you and make you an object of horror and contempt and a ruin forever. I will take away your happy singing and laughter. The joyful voices of bridegrooms and brides will no longer be heard. Your millstones will fall silent, and the lights in your homes will go out. This entire land will become a desolate wasteland. Israel and her neighboring lands will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Then, after the 70 years of captivity are over, I will punish the king of Babylon and his people for their sins, says the Lord. I will make the country of the Babylonians a wasteland forever. I will bring upon them all the terrors I have promised in this book, all the penalties announced by Jeremiah against the nations. Many nations and great kings will enslave the Babylonians, just as they enslaved my people. I will punish them in proportion to the suffering they cause my people. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me. Take from my hand this cup filled to the brim with my anger, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink from it. When they drink from it, they will stagger, crazed by the warfare I will send against them. So I took the cup of anger from the Lord and made all the nations drink from it, every nation to which the Lord sent me. I went to Jerusalem and the other towns of Judah, and their kings and officials drank from the cup. From that day until this, they have been a desolate ruin, an object of horror, contempt, and cursing. I gave the cup to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, his attendants, his officials, and all his people, along with all the foreigners living in that land. I also gave it to all the kings of the land of Uz and the kings of the Philistine cities of Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and what remains of Ashdod. Then I gave the cup to the nations of Edom, Moab, and Ammon, and the kings of Tyre and Sidon, and the kings of the regions across the sea. I gave it to Dedan, Tema, and Buz, and to the people who live in distant places. I gave it to the kings of Arabia, the kings of the nomadic tribes of the deserts, and to the kings of Zimri, Elam, and Media. And I gave it to the kings of the northern countries, far and near, one after the other, all the kingdoms of the world. And finally, the king of Babylon himself drank from the cup of the Lord's anger. Then the Lord said to me, "Now tell them, this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Drink from this cup of my anger. Get drunk and vomit. Fall to rise no more, for I am sending terrible wars against you. And if they refuse to accept the cup, tell them, the Lord of Heaven's army says, you have no choice but to drink from it. I have begun to punish Jerusalem, the city that bears my name. Now should I let you go unpunished? No, you will not escape disaster. I will call for war against all the nations of the earth. I, the Lord of Heaven's armies, have spoken. Now prophesy all these things and say to them, the Lord will roar against his own land from his holy dwelling in heaven. He will shout like those who tread grapes. He will shout against everyone on earth. His cry of judgment will reach the ends of the earth, for the Lord will bring his case against all the nations. He will judge all the people of the earth, slaughtering the wicked with the sword. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look, disaster will fall upon nation after nation. A great whirlwind of fury is rising from the most distant corners of the earth. In that day, those the Lord has slaughtered will fill the earth from one end to the other. No one will mourn for them or gather up their bodies to bury them. They will be scattered on the ground like manure. Weep and moan, you evil shepherds. Roll in the dust, you leaders of the flock. The time of your slaughter has arrived. You will fall and shatter like a fragile vase. You will find no place to hide. There will be no way to escape. Listen to the frantic cries of the shepherds. The leaders of the flock are wailing in despair, for the Lord is ruining their pastures. Peaceful meadows will be turned into a wasteland by the Lord's fierce anger. He has left his den like a strong lion seeking its prey, and their land will be made desolate by the sword of the enemy and the Lord's fierce anger. Second Thessalonians 2. Now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. Don't be fooled by what they say. For that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back? For he can be revealed only when his time comes. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. Then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. This man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived, and they will believe these lies. Then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy, and through your belief in the truth. He called you to salvation when we told you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. With all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you, both in person and by letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. Psalm 84. For the choir director. A psalm of the descendants of Korah to be accompanied by a stringed instrument. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar. O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God, what joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. O Lord God of heaven's armies, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Jacob. O God, look with favor upon the king, our shield. Show favor to the one you have anointed. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust in you. Proverbs 25:15. patience can persuade a prince, and soft speech can break bones. Okay, so in our reading from the Psalms today, chapter 84, an incredible, unique picture that's almost obsessive in its longing for God. Like there's this craving, this reaching, this yearning that comes out of the poetry. And it's not like these sentiments or this passion, this deep-rooted, heartfelt desire isn't in other places in the Bible. It's just in Psalm 84, it's really apparent. Like, listen to these words. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. There are portions of scripture that we come to and move through every single year that always, always stop me in my tracks. They're like signposts along the way that I'm used to seeing, and this is one of them, because we can get worked up in a powerfully passionate way or in a raging sort of way. We get ourselves worked up emotionally really intensely about something. But that intense sense of yearning or longing for an accomplishment or a person or whatever, it's rarely associated with God. In fact, we can be obsessive and have a craving or a yearning and give that to somebody else and withhold it from God, which may not be idolatry, but it's kind of moving in that direction. And if it's moving in that direction even a little bit, well, then it's not gonna, and I mean, it's not the right path. And so this psalm is written by the descendants of Korah. And what are they getting at here? I mean, we read the words to this song to be accompanied by a stringed instrument. We don't necessarily see them being instructive. Like listen to these words. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar. O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God, what joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. What would we call that? Like, how are they getting into that place where they're so given over? We would call these words worship. And we're just going to have to acknowledge that worship indeed may be the music that you like and that you keep playing over and over and singing along with. Worship may be what you do on Sundays when you go to church. And depending on which church you go to, what that looks like may be very different than many other places. Worship is different for lots of people. So we might consider worship to be how loud can I get, how sweaty and hoarse can I become in a song service. Worship can also be how completely still can I become so that all the stuff that races through my head is calmed, is still. I am at peace, like the Bible says, like a weaned child at his mother's breast. How still can I become that I might wait upon upon the Lord, that I might become aware of his presence. And so that can be styles of going about something, but these words here in this psalm are describing a state of heart, unified and rooted in the body, right? I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord with my whole being, body, and soul. I will shout joyfully to the living God. So this is like a completely engaged activity where we long and yearn and crave nothing else. Nothing else can give us life. Nothing else can fill the emptiness. Nothing else can make empty the clutter. And it's not so much the style or the method, it's the heart completely, deeply, passionately craving what God gives us. And so these descendants of Korah writing this end up concluding that after you've experienced that, there's no going back. Everything else diminishes. And the way that the words are written to express this are these: a single day in your courts is better than 1,000 days anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. So they're saying, if I could just be in that place, I would be a worker. I'll clean the toilets. Just to be there is better than being anywhere else. To be in the presence of God is better than to be anywhere else doing anything else. Ironically, and the irony isn't lost on me, I feel the irony every time we come to this passage. Ironically, for all the loud, for all the jumping, for all of that, it's really hard to see this kind of deep, completely obsessive yearning for God. And yet, we all know that being aware of God's presence in and among us, becoming aware of that thing that never goes away and is always available, that sometimes we have to whip ourselves into a frenzy to even pay attention to, it's always available. This is why the good news is the good news, that we can be in God's presence without fear, as children calling him Papa or Abba or Daddy or Father. This has been made available. And we get so distracted, right, with the blinking lights and the cardboard packaging and the bright colors of our culture, distracting us from something so profoundly good that words cannot describe it. And so as we continue to navigate our day, let's remember this. Let's become aware of the presence of God. And let's remember, let's recall those times where we've had that longing. And let's follow that longing and give ourselves completely, so that one day in the presence of God is better than 1,000 anywhere else. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. You can lead us deeper. And whether that means we get louder or whether that means we get quieter, makes no difference. Lead us deeper into our relationship with Jesus. Lead us into all truth. be a lamp for our feet and a light to our path through the scriptures, and lead us on a path that gets us so lost in your presence that we wouldn't be able to find our way back if we wanted to. But we don't want to. May we be more and more aware of your presence, we ask. In the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That's home base. It's the website. It's the home of the Global Campfire. It's where you find out what's going on around here. So be familiar and aware of that. If you're using the Daily Audio Bible app, you can access most of these things by pressing the drawer icon in the upper left-hand corner. So be familiar with the Daily Audio Bible shop. Also be familiar with the community section where there are links to get connected on social media. It is also in the community section where the prayer wall lives. Always on, never off, a place to go and pray. A place to go and ask for prayer. And that can be found in the community section. And it is an invaluable resource, so be aware of that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the mission that we share in common to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anyone who will listen to it anywhere on this planet, any time of day or night, and the desire to build community around that rhythm so that we, so that it's not a metaphor that we're not alone, so that it's a reality that we're not alone. We are in this together. If that is life-giving to you, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or there are a number of numbers that you can call depending on where you are on the planet. In the Americas, 877-942-4253 is the number. If you are in the UK or Europe, 44-2036-088078. And if you are in Australia, or that part of the world, 613-882-0-5459 is the number to call. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Victoria Soldier, I heard your prayer request on October 7 for your son. And I think you said your nephew, that their wives are in the hospital. They're pregnant. There are problems with the babies. Amniotic fluid was one of the problems. Lord, I ask you to cover these small babies that are to be born, who will know you one day. You already know their names. You saw to it that they should come into this world to spread your word someday when they grow up. Father, Victoria is a wonderful prayer warrior. We love her and want her children and in-laws to be blessed, that the babies should be healed through your stripes, Jesus, that you cover them, you protect them, you put a hedge of protection around both these women and their babies. that they should arrive healthy, happy children, knowing you, Lord, and knowing their grandmother, Victoria. In your precious name, Jesus Christ, amen. This is Jersey Jane for Jesus. God bless.
Good evening, Daily Audio Bible family. I come tonight and ask you to pray with me for my son and also my niece. My son had a scope and has had some biopsies, and I called in once before. This is Vicky from the desert, and I asked for prayer because he was also having low body temperatures. And so we're waiting to see the results of the biopsy. And my niece, Jennifer, did receive results, and she does have cancer. And I just pray for these younger people, Lord God, Jacob and Jennifer. Please cover them with the blood of Jesus. Please, Lord Jesus, send your healing power down from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, and cover them and protect them from the evil one. Protect them from this disease, and remove everything out of their body that shouldn't be there. Heal them, Lord God, from the inside out. And God, please save their souls and have mercy on them. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, family, for praying with me. For Jacob and for Jennifer. Thank you. This is Vicky from the desert. Bye.
Hello, Dab family. This is Vonnie in Northern California, and it is Tuesday, October 10th, I think, and I just heard Little Cherie from Canada call in, and oh, Little Cherie, you have brought such blessing over the years as I've listened. I do not call in very often, but I hear you call in, and your voice is always so bright and encouraging, but I could tell the moment you started sharing your request today that your heart was heavy, and my heart goes out to you, and we're lifting you up, Little Cherie, in this difficult decision that you're facing, and in considering the medications for MS, and we just keep praying for healing for your body, but may the Lord bring wisdom and comfort to you right now, as you contemplate what's ahead of you. Following your request came Susan from Colorado giving this wonderful passage in Philippians 4 that I just love that passage. I've loved it for decades. It's one of my most comforting and encouraging passages of Scripture. Be anxious for nothing, but by everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds. I know it was applied to Lisa, and we're praying for her as well, but I want it to apply to you, Little Cherie. We just are so thankful for you. We know the Lord has good planned for you. He encourages others through you. May you be encouraged today.
Shalom, Daily Audio Bible. This is Dwayne from Wisconsin. Oh, praise and glory to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Calling in for his little Cherie, who has lifted us up many times with her little ditties, her prayers, her praise for our Lord and Savior. It is time for us now to lift her up. Lord, we ask that you be with little Cherie. We ask that you give her comfort, peace, direction, and wisdom in the challenge she has facing her at this moment. We ask that you be with the doctors, and that they are opened to your wisdom and the direction that she should take. We ask, Lord, if it is your will, that you would heal her from this struggle and health issue that she has, that if it is your will, you would take this from her. If not, that you would guide her through it, be with her through this as she goes through this. We lift this up to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless, and amen.